Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Helix Reviews Podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking about Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the newly rebooted video game franchise. I'm also going to talk about Jesus is King, a new album released by Kanye West. Interesting stuff. But first things first, let's talk about Modern Warfare.
Years of civil war.
There's nothing civil about it.
This is bigger now. Chemical weapons have fallen into terrorist hands. They could be anywhere.
We need to move fast.
What do you suggest?
A business trip.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Now, there's three basic categories here that I'm going to be talking about. Three different modes, if you will, from Call of Duty Modern Warfare that I'm going to be focusing on here. So I'm going to talk about the campaign, I'm going to talk about the multiplayer, and I'm going to talk about the co-op. So let's start with the campaign. A fairly short campaign. I think even for Call of Duty standards, this feels like a fairly short campaign. I finished it, I think it was like somewhere around like the 5 to 6 hours mark is where it seemed like it took to finish playing through the campaign here. Now, I always thought that the Call of Duty franchise like all took place in the same universe, they were all in the same continuity, you know, but honestly, this whole idea of a reboot now kind of throws a wrench into that, the works, you know, it throws a wrench into that idea, I guess, because... like, if this one is rebooted, does that mean all the Call of Duties are rebooted? And if they all take place in the same universe, do they take place in the new Modern Warfare one or the old Modern Warfare universe? This one does not seem congruent with the older games. This definitely seems like a reboot, you know, not just like a relaunch, you know. So, I don't know. I guess I've never... been way too into the Call of Duty campaigns too much. You know, I mean, they're generally fun, but honestly, the stories of the Call of Duty games never hooked me too much. But this game had me excited because they really seem to be focusing a lot more on making this campaign impactful. Instead of just, you know, the explosions, joy, woo, fun ride that some of the campaigns of Call of Duty games are, they really, it seemed like we're wanting to give this one more impact, more weight, and that made me really excited to check it out. And honestly, this is one of, if not the best single-player Call of Duty campaign I've ever played. It's good. Now, this, what really helps with this one as opposed to the other Modern Warfare games is this one actually has cutscenes. I mean, some of the Call of Duty games have cutscenes, some don't. The Modern Warfare games didn't have cutscenes, at least the ones that I've played. You know, maybe I've played all the way through the first one. I think I've played some of the third one, and I don't remember it having cutscenes. But the fact that this actually has cutscenes means they can actually do a lot better of a job at building some characters here and at fleshing out the story a little bit better than I think they could do previously in these games. Now, it kind of took me a few missions to really get into the story, but at a certain point in the game, honestly, probably like halfway through or so, I was totally engaged in the story and where it was going, and I finally could see where, kind of what all they were building up to, and I was like looking forward to getting there. They could have gotten into it a little bit faster, but the fact that I was this engaged in a Call of Duty campaign is better than most of the time with COD campaigns. And there is a mission in here that is just phenomenal. It's just one of the most intense and emotionally engaging sequences I've played in a video game in quite a while. The mission is called Hometown. I don't want to spoil anything. I'll just say this is one where you play as a different character than your main character, and it's its own like kind of little story right there. And it is phenomenal. It is so good. Now, I mean, despite how much I'm praising the story here, you know, I'm not going to say this has as good a story as like a Naughty Dog game or like a Quantic Dreams game, you know, but it's good storytelling. And, you know, it makes me excited to see what the future of Call of Duty single player games are going to be. I mean, Activision in particular, because they're the ones that made this. But if this is the direction, generally speaking, that Call of Duty campaigns are going, that is awesome. And I cannot wait for more. This game seems to be kind of stirring up a lot of controversy because it's getting into some really kind of serious themes and actually like showing you some of the horrors of war. But honestly, that's really what got me excited for the game in the first place, you know? And, you know, finally, a Call of Duty game that's going to tell a more serious war story and not one that's, you know, Michael Bay fashion explosions and craziness and everything. 13 hours, though, 13 hours directed by Michael Bay is a good movie, good war movie. But if I'm being honest, I don't know why people were so up in arms about this. I mean, yeah, it's violent, it's disturbing. There's some things in here that's like, ooh, you know, okay, that is kind of disturbing and stuff. But I mean, war movies have been doing this stuff for years, you know? I guess I just find it kind of strange that people are having this kind of strong reaction to this game when you can go watch Zero Dark Thirty or Sicario and see this same exact thing, you know? I mean, maybe it's because a lot of kids play Call of Duty, you know? But I mean, it's an M-rated game. I don't know. A lot of kids watch R-rated movies and play M-rated games. I don't know. There was little kids watching Halloween with me when I went and seen that, you know? I thought that was pretty stupid. I don't know. I guess I don't necessarily get the little bit of controversy that seemed to be stirring up around this game. But, I mean, it didn't seem to hurt the sales. This has been a blockbuster seller for Activision. So, that's awesome. And I really, really did enjoy the campaign. I honestly think this is probably the best Call of Duty campaign I've ever played. Thematically, our hero, and essentially the main character, even though he's not the one you're playing as, Captain Price, he says, and this kind of seems to wrap up the theme of the whole game, is he basically says, we need to get our hands dirty to keep the people of America's hands clean. And so it's modern warfare. It's getting into modern warfare techniques, which means torture, which means you know, threatening innocence and things like this, you know, things that go above and beyond what you should be doing in a war. And I mean, I don't believe that's right. I don't believe that's the way you should be going about things. It's, you know, it may be effective in the short run, but ultimately in the long run, God set up rules for war in, I want to say it's Deuteronomy. I don't exactly remember the book, but one of those early books in the Bible, one of those first few books in the Bible there, he sets up rules for war and, you know, things that you're not supposed to do even during wartime, you know, and I think they definitely cross the line sometimes in this game. And you know, I think it's something that shouldn't be happening and our heroes shouldn't be doing, but it's something that is currently happening. And so I guess in some ways opening our eyes to it is like, oh, okay, now we're seeing a little bit more, I guess, of what's actually going on. But again, we've known this for a long time. You know, we've seen movies with this. We've known this stuff for a long time. It's just, I don't know. I just think it's there are some wrong tactics to war that are being utilized in this game and stuff that I don't think we should be doing, but it is something we're doing. So at least it's good that we're aware of it as a people of America, what our soldiers are doing. But on the other hand, this game is trying to kind of make it okay and to make it say, okay, this is okay because we're helping these other people. And ultimately the ends don't justify the means. You know, the means have to be right so that way we can get the right end, right? So ultimately, yeah, there. That's my thoughts on the campaign. Really good Call of Duty campaign. Multiplayer, okay. This is kind of the bread and butter of Call of Duty. The multiplayer is always fun in Call of Duty. And this one is also very fun. I mean, this one has crossplay, which is pretty cool. I didn't utilize that, but the fact that it's there is pretty cool. You know, if I want to team up with somebody on the Xbox, if I have it on the PlayStation version, I can do that. You know, that's really cool. There's a lot of little little additions, you know, that they always have in these Call of Duty games. There's, you know, just little tweaks and things here to change up what the multiplayer is. There's, like, you can kind of attach to a wall. You know how in a lot of games you can duck for cover and you kind of attach to a wall so that way you're hiding or something like that? Well, there's basically that where you aim the gun and you can kind of attach to a wall so that way you're you know, just barely showing so you can shoot somebody with, you know, hiding as much as possible kind of thing. I actually thought that was really cool. I didn't utilize it all the time. I would forget about it, honestly, that it's there. But then when I did use it, I'm like, oh, this is really neat. This is pretty cool. And I think this is something that I would be happy to see if they continued doing that in future Call of Duty games. There are also points in this game where your character will see the enemy and he'll call out where he is. So, you know, sometimes it's just enemy ahead or enemy, you know, whatever. It's most of the time it's when you already see him. They do a good job of making it where you've pretty much already seen him. It's not like he says enemy ahead and you're going, what, where, you know. It's pretty much always when you see the enemy is pretty much when your character says it. So that, however they worked that out, that was pretty good there. But I think it's really cool that you, like, your in-game character yells it out and your teammates around you can hear it. But then sometimes it's very specific to where they're at, too. So it's like, he's in the train car or something. And they're like, oh, the train car is right there. And so he's in there, you know. So I thought that was really cool, you know, how specific and stuff they got some of this dialogue in this multiplayer game. The maps, there's a lot of new maps this time, which is good. You know, unlike Call of Duty or Black Ops 4, where there was a lot of reused maps, that was almost like a greatest hits collection in some ways, with the addition of new maps as well and stuff. This one, pretty much all new maps we got here, and you know, I guess, you know, some pretty good ones and some okay ones, I think. And the only one really that sticks out to me, I don't remember the name of the map, but it's basically, there's like this big mansion in the middle of the map, and then everybody just kind of congregates there, and, you know, you kind of charge in and try to take over the mansion. It's not the game mode, you're just playing team deathmatch, but it's like all the enemies are in the mansion, so you're kind of invading the mansion, and they're trying to keep you out. And then if you get in there, then all you are there trying to keep the enemy out, and they're all just kind of invading. It's almost like an in-game, different version of a game in-game, you know. It's like, it's really cool. It's just kind of something that just kind of popped out as a cool different take on a map to me, because, you know, most of the maps, you know, you're kind of running around, the enemies are coming from one side, you're coming from the other side, or whatever, depending on the mode that you're playing. But this one, I thought it was just really cool how most of the time, you know, one team or the other will more or less have control of, like, the mansion, and then everybody else is trying to get in, and then they can get in and wipe you out, and then they have control of the mansion. You know, that was a cool little thing there. A cool little bit to that map. And that's probably my favorite map there. I will say there's not a lot of great kill streaks here. You know, there's some of the standards, which are, you know, good or fine or whatever. But there's not, like the car kill streak is always one of my favorites, where you just get a couple kills, and then it's like you can get a car and drive it out and blow somebody up. It's fun, simple, but it's that one's not here. There's I don't know. I think the kill streaks are just kind of lackluster this time. Nothing that interesting really there. This game's going off of the whole idea where you level up each gun individually as opposed to leveling up your character overall. So you have to use each gun in order to upgrade it, which I don't like that as much. I prefer if you just level up your character overall and you can get more and more stuff for more guns, because I don't like using a gun and then, like, oh, I want to try this gun out, and now I have no, you know, sight for that, or I have nothing for that gun, you know. You have to go down to the base gun, right? I would rather if it all just kind of levels up kind of equally just as you level up. That said, the plus side to that is, you know, you get to that gun that you really like, you know, and you can upgrade that one a lot faster. So, yeah, you know, there's a positive to that part as well, I suppose. But I just prefer the other way, generally. So there's a lot of new modes here. Well, a few new modes. Gunfight is a big one. This is a 2v2 thing where you're in a tiny map. You got five rounds, and it's just two people on a team, two people on that team, and then they just go at each other. And it's very simple, it's very intense, it's very kind of quick and snappy, and it's a lot of fun. Now, you can, you know, I'm not a highly skilled Call of Duty player, so if you get in there and you get somebody that's way up, you know, higher than you as far as, you know, how talented they are playing, then they're just going to wipe you out, and that's that. I mean, I guess that's always the case with Call of Duty, but it's really kind of apparent in the 2v2 mode. But if you get someone roughly your skill level or something, then you can actually get in there and kind of go back and forth a little bit. That's really fun. Then we have Ground War. Okay, this mode is fun. I really did enjoy this, but basically it's Battlefield. This is Battlefield, only faster, because it's Call of Duty. It's Call of Duty's version of Battlefield. And it's good. I liked it. I actually thought it was really fun, and I would be totally down for more of this in the future of the Call of Duty franchise as well. But really, it's just Battlefield. Like, you know, you got the different points you have to take. You go there, you fight off the enemies that are there, and you sit there and you take over that point, and you get, there's like four different points, and you got to take them all over, and then whoever has, you know, the most points for the longest time, or you take them all over, or all this kind of stuff. It's basically Battlefield. Battlefield's multiplayer is Ground War in Call of Duty, and it's fun. It's really fun. I only played Battlefield a little bit, but what I played of this, I had more fun than what I've played of Battlefield with this version. So yeah, I mean, I think I'm more of a Call of Duty guy in general anyway, but yeah. Another mode is cyber attack. Fun. This is like you gotta take a bomb and plant it in the enemy's area. And it's, you only have one life. There's a few rounds of it, but you only have one life, but your friends can also revive you if you get down. Very cool. Very kind of different a little bit for Call of Duty. I mean, I know they did that with the Battle Royale and the Black Ops 4 and all that kind of stuff, but a little bit different for Call of Duty, but it's fun. It kind of reminds me of like the, what is, search and destroy mode in some of the previous ones. I think it might have been in this one. I didn't play that. I was trying to hit all the newer modes and everything. Overall, cyber attack is fun. I don't think it's one that I'm going to be like, you know, that would be one of the mainstays that I would always go to, but it would definitely be one that's like, oh, I'll go back and try that again, you know, just because, you know, it's fun. It's different than the team deathmatch or the ground war, so I'll do that every now and again, but I don't think it would necessarily be one of the mainstays that I would always be going back to. There is realism mode, which basically it's the same thing as like team deathmatch, only you take away the HUD, which, I don't know, I didn't find it to be all that much different than just team deathmatch. The main difference I found was that the characters didn't have a name tag over them. I think your characters did, but the enemies didn't, so you wouldn't see like that red name tag and you go, oh, enemy or anything. You just see the person and you go, oh, there's the enemy, you know. So it's, I don't know, like, that was the biggest thing that I found about that one. It's fine. I don't know. It's basically the same thing, only with no HUD. I didn't really find it that much different. So overall, the multiplayer is fun. I really like the multiplayer. This is definitely one that that I'll play and stuff. But for me personally, this multiplayer is not as good as Black Ops 4. Black Ops, or Black Ops 3, or Black Ops 1, the Black Ops games are my favorite ones, for the multiplayer specifically, but this isn't on the level of those, in my opinion, but this is really fun. It's kind of a back to the basics, back to the, a lot more grounded than where we're at with a lot of the Call of Duty games now, where they're starting to get a little more science fiction. You know, you got wall running, or you got all these different kind of things. You didn't have wall running in Black Ops 4, but you still had some of the, like, the cybernetic kind of stuff, the kind of crazy future technology kind of stuff a little bit in there, you know, but this one, that's all stripped out. We're Modern Warfare, and so, you know, you got some techie stuff, but it's very kind of more grounded, modern day kind of techie stuff. So overall, good, solid multiplayer, very fun, probably just not the best Call of Duty has ever done, but very fun. Now let's talk about co-op. This is the weakest part of this game. Okay, just first of all, no couch co-op. Are you serious? That's probably my favorite part of that first Modern Warfare game. And those Modern Warfare games, those co-op missions were great. I loved those co-op missions, man. But here, the co-op missions are online only, which means I can't get together with my brother and play these co-op missions, which stinks. Man, this sucks. And I don't understand this decision at all. I mean, I know as an industry, just that's the direction that this whole industry is going. But this is Call of Duty. They've always had this couch co-op. I don't know about the very first one, but from at least number two that I've played, there was couch split screen multiplayer at the very least. And all these Modern Warfare games have had couch co-op missions that were extremely fun. This one, okay. This one, the missions themselves were okay. They were decent. There was some, you know, there was one where you go in and there was waves over and over and then you get extracted in a helicopter. That was fun. There's ones where you need to, like, oh, upload the intelligence and you go from here to here to here. That was pretty fun. These ones were pretty challenging, too. They would get to the point where it's like there's just so many guys beating down on you that it's like it's really hard to survive. Most of them I didn't even get to the end of. And so, you know, I mean, there's that, I guess. It would probably be better if I could actually better work together with people, like if it was couch co-op, maybe, crying out loud. Anyway, that really, really annoys me, the no couch co-op. But the co-op missions, generally speaking, I mean, there's one in particular that I liked. It was in there's like a sniper level in the main game. It takes place there. That one is good. I liked that one. That one's kind of just a waves one, but I liked that one. Beyond that, the rest were decent. You know, they weren't amazing, but they were decent. There was one that was supposed to be a stealth one. Again, you need your own people with this one because immediately going into this stealth mission, you know, we all put silencers on our guns and then people just run out and start shooting people and it's just immediately becomes an action mission again. And so it's like, okay, well, there goes any kind of stealth and stuff. But oh well, whatever. The co-op in this game is it's stupid. It's not even couch co-op, so it's stupid and I don't like it. All right. It's a bummer to say the least. Overall, Modern Warfare is a blast. It's really fun. The multiplayer is fun, and the campaign is some of the best campaign that I've ever played in a Call of Duty game. If you enjoy the Call of Duty games, I really think this is a must check out, unless that co-op is a deal breaker for you. Unless that, but this is really, like, this is a must play if you're really into all the Call of Duty games. It's a blast. It's so much fun. And, I mean, it kind of gives me hope in directions that the series could go. Not only this series, but, I mean, the Call of Duty franchise as a whole.
Where do we draw the line, sir?
You draw the line.
No, sir!
Full moon! Stop!
Wherever you need it.
What is this?
It's the off switch. We're all just pawns in this.
You speak for yourself.
This is crazy.
Yeah, but we're all a little crazy, aren't we? The rules of engagement have changed. If you can't identify the target, you are the target.
The Helix Reviews podcast is a proud member of the Christian Geek Central Network, a hub of all kinds of cool Christian geeky stuff from around the web, all funneled to ChristianGeekCentral.com. Check it out. I don't think I talked about Call of Duty Mobile on the show, did I? I should have planned better and actually reviewed that as well, but it actually just occurred to me that I hadn't talked about it on the show. Call of Duty Mobile is awesome. It's one of, if not the best shooter on your mobile device. PUBG is awesome. PUBG Mobile is fantastic. I love it. This rivals that for the best shooter on your mobile device. It's great. It's a blast. You got all the different modes. You don't have a campaign, but you don't necessarily need one for your mobile phone. So I'm totally fine with that. I don't know. I'm unsure if I would play a campaign mode in on my mobile phone or not. So I don't know. But it's a blast. It's so much fun. And I mean, it's much like PUBG, where you get the console version or you get the computer version of PUBG. It's a lot harder and it's a lot easier on the mobile version. The same thing with Call of Duty. You can get way more kills. You can get way higher kill streaks and those kind of things. So, you know, that's pretty cool too. When you first start off, you're mainly just playing against bots, but then once you start playing against real people, you can tell the difference because real people are a lot better than the bots. But good stuff. I Call of Duty Mobile, it's probably going to end up in my top games of the year, even though it's a mobile game. You know, most mobile games are just not going to end up in my top of the year because, I mean, frankly, console games are better than mobile games in my opinion, but this one has a strong chance to end up in my top list of the year. All right, let's talk about Kanye West's new album.
Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A, you're my number one with the lemonade. Raise our sons, train them in the faith, through temptations, make sure they're wide awake. Follow Jesus, listen and obey. No more living for the culture, we nobody's slave.
So Kanye West recently has made a conversion to faith. He has announced that, hey, you know what, I've become a Christian now, and I'm going to start making gospel music. I'm not going to sing about the stuff that I sung about before, you know, which is, you know, it's he sung about the stuff a lot of rappers sung about, right? Money, drugs, sex. You know, I listened to some of his music before this, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is, I mean, it's, I think he's a deeper thinker. And you can see that in some of the lyrics that he wrote before this too, but he still sung about all those things that most rappers sing about, you know. So he said, "Nah, I'm gonna abandon all that, and I'm gonna make gospel music, you know." And then so I was like extremely curious what this was gonna be. Now he's released an album called Jesus Is King, and I mean, okay, first of all, if you're questioning whether this is real or not, he has a song on here for you, for one thing. I mean, you know, this isn't like when Snoop Dogg released his gospel music, and it's like, yeah, but I don't think you became a Christian, did you? And I mean, from all appearances, he didn't become a Christian. He just released some gospel music because I guess that makes money too. if you're thinking it's more along those lines, I mean, he has a song in there for you about he becomes a Christian, and then people are questioning whether he's a Christian, and you know, that makes it all the harder for him to, you know, still persevere and follow God and all this kind of stuff that he talks about. And it's like, oh, that's really interesting. And it seems pretty legit, you know, from obviously a very outside perspective. It seems pretty legit, you know. You got his interviews, he seems very convincing, and you get people talking about him saying, nah, he's a born-again believer, man. You know, it's like, it's very interesting. It's very cool, honestly. If this is true, that is amazing. And from all appearances on this album, I think it's true. I have no reason to doubt that he's a Christian now, and the music that he created here is very Christian-oriented, is very gospel-centered. He said he wanted to make gospel music, and that's very much what he created in this album, and that's really cool. I don't talk about music too much on the show. I should, I guess, just give you a little bit of background. I like music. I like music a lot. My favorite kind of music is rap music. Now, I listen to mostly Christian rap music, but I listen to some non-Christian rap music because there's some non-Christian rappers that I think are really good and really talented. I didn't listen to a whole lot of Kanye West before this album. This album got me curious about him. I listened to some of his previous albums because of this album, and now I've listened to this album through a few times now, and here we are. I like rap music a lot. I like all different kinds of genres. There's a few that I don't like, but I like all different kinds of genres of music. Rap music is my favorite. Now, back to Kanye West. I thought I should just give you a little bit more of a glimpse at me musically, because I haven't talked about music a lot on the show for quite a while. So thematically, like he set out to do, this very much is a gospel album, which is really cool. Now, I do kind of wish that he would, you know, maybe go a little bit deeper, you know, or a little bit more often, you know, go for the jugular a little more often, you know, but I don't know. I mean, he's still a young Christian, so hopefully, you know, as he grows in this, his music will grow and mature along with him, right? I mean, that said, honestly, he goes deeper sometimes on this album than, I mean, most of what they play on my local Christian radio station, so I don't know. I mean, kudos to him for actually diving in, for having the guts to really dive in and go full board with this thing that really could throw his career off the rails in some ways, right? Now, moving over musically here, he leans a little bit too much on a gospel choir for my personal tastes, you know. I wish he would tone that down a bit more and give us more rap music, you know. I mean, choir music is like a good kind of flourish to other genres, you know. It'd like to add a little something to other genres like rap music, you know. But I've never been a fan of just choir music, and there's quite a bit of choir music in here. I mean, if you're going to have a choir, have a black choir, right? Because they're the best. So much I don't know if this is like racist for me to say or whatever, but whatever, I'm not being racist, okay? I'm just telling you right now, they have so much more energy and passion most of the time than white choirs. So there you go. Good job, Kanye West. What I'm hoping with the all the choir music in this is that this is just going to be kind of a signifying mark, you know, to show, hey, this is my changing point, you know, and then future albums won't rely on that so much, you know. That can maybe be there, maybe not, but this will be like, oh, this is kind of the theme of this album, because this is kind of a changing point in his career and a changing point in his life overall, right? But overall, the rap I very much enjoyed. You know, it's fun. He's a great rapper. I mean, there is a reason why he's as popular as he is. He's way more popular than I realized, honestly. But he's extremely popular. And he is good at rap, and I really enjoy when he's doing that. I just wish that they would he would stick with that a little bit more. And he did in some of his previous albums that I listened to, so I think potentially in the future he will some more, so it's definitely something I'm going to be keeping an eye on. This whole album feels a little bit short to me. Both the songs individually felt kind of short, and the album as a whole, it was only like a half hour long or something, so it's pretty short overall, which disappointed me a little bit listening to it, because I got through it so fast. But I guess, you know, it's the whole leave your audience wanting more thing. And the album I listened to previously to this, the couple albums actually, were both around the same length, so I guess maybe this is just what he does. But again, it just seemed a little shorter than I was expecting, and so when it ended, I was like, oh, is that it? I'm gonna go through here and just talk about a few of the songs that I liked here. First off, the first song I don't really like. The first song is like, it's like just an intro kind of thing, I think, but it's like a choir singing, but the weird thing about it is it starts and stops so abruptly. It sounds like they had a whole song, and they just, like, cut off the first and last, like, 30 seconds, so that way it just starts right in the middle of the song. It's like, blah, and then it just started, and then it just goes and then just cuts off at the end. I don't understand why that was like that at all. I don't know if he was trying to, if there was some point to that, or if it, I don't know. It, to me, it didn't sound good at all. But my favorite songs on here specifically, we got Selah. That's the first, like, kind of actual song where he sings. We got Follow God. Closed on Sunday. Now, this one was really interesting. This has this is kind of all about how pop culture indoctrinates you, and now, you know, no more is he living for the culture. Now, you know, he's nobody's slave, is what he says. And that's actually some really powerful stuff in that song, you know, that really isn't talked about enough in mainstream Christian music, you know. So that's really cool, and one of the deeper songs on the album, I think. God is also a very good song. And Hands On, okay, this one, he says, I've been working for the devil my whole life, now I work for God, you know. And it's like, yeah, that's That's really cool. You know, it's he's kind of talks about some of the stuff that he was into before, but he's like, nope, now, you know, it's behind me. He's shedding the old man, putting on the new man, and he's working for God, you know, which is it's really cool. And this is the one also where he's talking about, you know, Christians are the first ones to judge me. You know, when he says he's a Christian, Christians are the first ones to judge me, and it makes him feel like nobody loves him. And it's kind of a really powerful and direct, like, kind of look at all the people that, when they're like, ah, Kanye West is a Christian, I don't believe it, look at his life before, and all this kind of stuff, that is the natural reaction, I guess, when somebody like this becomes a Christian. But as Christians, we're supposed to accept him. You know, if the fruit is showing that he is a Christian and stuff, you know, and there's that conversion there that seemingly happens, we're supposed to accept him, you know, in the same way that they accepted Paul, who was Saul at the time, in the Christian church in Acts. You know, we need to, you know, except this person that was really not doing anything, you know, nothing that helped Christianity, a lot of stuff that probably, you know, that probably hurt people in a lot of ways more than helped people. But now he's turning his life around, and now it, from seemingly from the fruit that I've seen, you know, which again, it's all from a very outside perspective and all this kind of stuff, but it seems like he's turning his life around. It seems like it's a good positive change here, and that's really cool. And this song is kind of addressing all the people that are just looking at him going, oh, I don't believe it, because there's a lot of those people. But, I mean, from all appearances, from my perspective anyway, it appears to be true. And that's, I mean, it's really exciting, honestly, you know, like this popular entertainer that already has this built-up fan base, that immense built-up fan base, could potentially get out an album like this and potentially get a lot more people thinking about God, or a lot more people thinking about Christianity and stuff, and people, you know, coming from maybe a mindset like him, you know, because they're listening to his music, and so, you know, that maybe they got a mindset like him or something, and then moving, you know, away from that and towards Christianity, kind of seeing that. I think there's a lot of powerful stuff here. If you know, whoever is listening and just listening off from the last album is like, oh, I like Kanye West, listens to this new album, I think there's a lot of positive messages and ideas that they could get from this that could, you know, hopefully lead them to become a Christian. Overall, I really enjoyed this album. I think it's really cool. I think the conversion story and everything, you know, the bits that you hear and stuff is like, oh, that's really cool. And seeing kind of the change from where he was at with even just his last album to this album, it's a dramatic change. Now, I hope in the future he tones down some of that choir stuff, brings the rap back more, but this album, in my opinion, is definitely worth listening to. It's 30 minutes, and you're not going to regret the 30 minutes spent with this album. Is it one that I'm going to keep coming back to time and time again? Probably not, but it has me intrigued for the future of Kanye West. You know, whenever he gets out another album, I'm there. I'm sold.
I've been working for you my whole life. Told the devil that I'm going on a strike. I've been working for you my whole life. Nothing worse than a hypocrite. Change, he ain't really different. He ain't even try to get permission. Ask for advice and they dissed him. Said I'm finna do a gospel album. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'd be the first one to judge me. Make it feel like nobody loved me. They'd be the first one to judge me. Feeling like nobody loved me.
And that is it for this episode of Helix Reviews. Coming up on the next episode, I still intend to do the episode where I talk about DC Batman villains that could also get a solo movie, much like Joker. Sorry, it's been a while since the last episode. The last episode was the Joker review back in October, early October, and then I pretty much skimped out on the rest of October. Sorry about that. Sorry about my voice. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice or not, but I've been getting over a cold, and honestly, recording this now, I'm already, like, I feel it, like, in my throat. So, if you hear that, I mean, sorry, or whatever. I mean, it's not much I can do about it or you can do about it. But hey, it's there, so I just mentioned it, I guess. Terminator, Dark Fate, really looking forward to that movie. I haven't seen it yet. It's out now. But when I watch that movie, I'll probably do a review of that as well, because the Terminator franchise is one of my favorite franchises of all time. And then I have ideas for other episodes, but that's going to have to wait. That's all for this time. This is David Arrington of the Heel Reviews Podcast, signing off. Bye-bye, guys.
Try to talk to my dad, get him some advice. He starts spazzing on me. I start spazzing back. He said, they ain't Christ-like. I said, ah!